You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, folks. All right, we are kicking off act number two here. 6:06 in the evening, a perfect time to talk about the things we love in this world and do it on the radio, movies, TV, comedy, sturgeon, all kinds of fun stuff tonight. If you missed hour number one, you're going to want to check that out in podcast form at civicmedia.us. My guest was Carl Lowenstein. He's still here. We'll be back with Carl in just a moment, but we're talking about his great distillery in Oshkosh and a very cool event he has coming up. I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. Coming up this hour is John Roach. He will be here at 6:35. John and I first met at PBS Wisconsin last year for the Wisconsin Film Festival episode of Director's Cut, which I host on PBS, and I got to know John, and I love his work. His resume is incredible. Co-writer of The Straight Story that was directed by David Lynch and co-written by Mary Sweeney, drew some Oscar nominations, and he created this really cool show in Chicago years ago called The Sports Writers on TV, which was kind of sports radio before there was sports radio. But tonight he will be joining me to talk about the screening coming up of his new film, A Road at Night, about UW basketball player and coach Howard Moore, who was in a terrible accident with his family. John made a riveting and really gripping documentary, and it's about to be unleashed on the public, and I highly recommend you see it. But he'll be here to tell us all about how we can do that. And then in hour number three, Bodie Bentz, a filmmaker with a Western at the Door County Film Festival, which launches next week. I will be there giving the keynote address. It will be fun. Hope you come on out, but we'll talk to Bodie about his film in hour number three. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite slow dance song? And we are falling a little bit behind on text, but we'll get to those in just a minute, folks. So hang in there and let us know what you think is the best song to slow dance to. Before we get back to Carl, we have a call, Conrad.
Yes.
Who's calling us on Mom Bell?
Ollie from the North Woods.
Ollie, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. First off, I'd like to say happy birthday to Conrad's mom, Paula.
Well, that's, sweet.
Keeps being 30 for a long, long time.
You know why that's so sweet that you're wishing Conrad's mom a happy birthday, Ollie? Because Conrad's mom doesn't really like you. But you're still wishing... Oh, I'm kidding, Ollie, of course.
Well, that's okay. I'd still wish her happy birthday anyway.
Ollie, I can't imagine anybody not liking you.
The way to get people to like you is to be likable.
That's true. And you are certainly that. You're one of our faves, and you know that. What's going on tonight?
Well, I'd like to say two songs. One is Elvis singing I Can't Help Falling in Love with
great
You.
Great one. That's a
and the
one.
Other one was Angel Baby.
Oh, yeah. It was like from the 50s, right?
Yeah, I think it's Angel like Baby. 50s or early 60s. I know it was sung by a woman,
yeah.
But I don't know what the group was.
Conrad can Google that. Well, hang on. After you hang up, listen, and we'll tell you who it was. Con is Googling that as we speak, even though it's his mom's birthday. Ollie, thank you so much, as always. Have
All
a
right.
wonderful
Have
evening.
Good night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
See, Carl, you know, it doesn't kill you to pick a slow song that's a nice dance song.
That's true. That is totally
he
true.
Still doesn't
that would
want
be a
to
good idea to pick a song.
Carl Lowenstein is here, folks. He's the founder of Sturgeon Spirits, a really outstanding distillery that builds community as well as creates great cocktails and mocktails. He is here in the studio and a Nightlight sponsor, and we love his sponsorship. And I love reading his commercials because he gives us recipes periodically. That's kind of brave that you give out the recipes for people to make at home rather than come into your, we're statewide, so.
But I think it's a great, one of the things that's made our place awesome is that I can only take credit for finding great people to help who Tanya, who is in at the distillery right today, is an amazing flavor master, and she can put together the best combinations that you can imagine. You're trying one of her combinations right here today. She, in fact, made that up right before we left.
Really?
She said, I said, I need something with blackberry, that we can do blackberry and, you know, a nice berry thing. And she's like, sure, done.
And that's what's great. As we were talking earlier, folks, that less and less people are drinking. You said 56% of Americans drink now?
Something like that.
Is it a little higher in Wisconsin?
I'm sure it is. I don't think it was. It didn't have 92% broken down by state.
But we've got, I've got a mocktail. Carl's got a mocktail without the mock. And they're delicious. So check out Sturgeon Spirits. But before we forget, again, you told us about this great thing you're doing on the 14th, and we failed to mention that that's another, in addition to you having a bar out on the ice, a mile out on Lake Winnebago for sturgeon spearing, which is cool on its own. It's also cool that it's Valentine's Day, but it's even cooler that it's a big day for Sturgeon Spirits. Tell us about that.
That's right. I totally forgot to mention, because I love sturgeon so much, that it's our third anniversary. We've made it 3 years,
incredible.
And it's been incredible, an incredible time, an incredible experience. And so we're celebrating that actually the second weekend. So February 21st is our third anniversary party, and we'll have a band, and we'll have food, we'll have a lot of fun stuff going on, and the distillery itself. Todd will still be on the ice on the 21st if you want to come out and visit him then. So we are going crazy to celebrate the sturgeon this year.
That's great. I love how you got carried away with the sturgeon and forgot to mention your own true history professor like you used to be. Tell us where Sturgeon Spirits is and what people can expect when they go there, if they go there to take a tour or whatever.
So our place is in South Oshkosh. It's 2663 Oregon Street in Oshkosh. And if you have some sense, we're right next to the airport, on the east side of the airport. We are just about 2 miles south of downtown. We have a self-standing facility where we do all our production. And then we have a tasting room and cocktail bar. And in fact, you mentioned our flavors. We have over 300 cocktails on our menu right now. And new ones are being created even as we speak. Pete is drinking a brand new cocktail that will be on the menu. We probably should call it the Schwabba.
I think that's got a nice ring to it,
Carl. I think we're going to do that.
The Macuba. So let me ask you this. What is your – I'm fascinated, but like when I drank, it was always spirits. I wasn't really a beer guy. Some wine I like and occasionally a beer, but I love spirits. And I remember watching MASH, and they had a still in their tent, Hawkeye and BJ or a Trapper. And I thought, man, it'd be cool to make – it just looked like a cool process. So I thought if I ever made my own alcohol, it would be spirits. I don't think that's going to happen now, but talk us through that process. Like, how involved is it, and what have you learned since you've been doing it?
Oh, I love doing it. So this is my hobby. I actually started distilling probably 10 years ago in my garage.
Okay.
My wife kicked me out of the house because she was afraid I would blow it up. So I had to be in the separated garage, and I was, you know, out there in the cold.
Were you doing meth too or something out there? What?
You're boiling a volatile chemical, right? So the way you distill is you take essentially beer, or you make a mash that's, say, 10% alcohol, 11% alcohol, so like a stiff beer. And you essentially boil it in a pressure cooker. And the chemistry is pretty simple in that the steam, when it comes off that boiling liquid, alcohol boils at a lower temperature than water. So the first steam that comes off of a 10% alcohol solution is pure ethanol. And that's what you collect. And so you're always watching your temperature. You're keeping it between 172, which is the boiling point of ethanol, and 212, which is the boiling point of water.
Right.
And so that steam is alcohol steam. And then you catch it, and you run it in copper because copper cleans it up. There's a chemical reaction that makes ethanol better when it touches copper. And that's why stills have those big copper tops on them. It's because it makes better booze.
Mm.
And then you shock it with cold water, so that turns the steam back into liquid and collect it.
So no kidding.
And that's what they were doing. If you think about Trapper, they had that really nice like lab setup, but that's all they were doing. They would put essentially that beer or whatever they were making in the bottom, and then you heat it, and the steam that comes off your alcohol.
So is it an expensive hobby? Does it still cost a lot? Do the materials cost a lot if people wanted to try it at home?
It's super easy. I bought my first still off of eBay, I think. I bought a little 5-gallon pressure cooker with a copper. It was really a piece of copper pipe stuck in the top. Okay. So doing it as a, on a small scale is super easy. I probably paid $100 for it, and I just started playing with that 5 gallon batches. Now I'm running 150 gallon batches, so it's a much different animal, and, wow, and that's a lot of copper. So it's not cheap anymore.
My guest is Carl Lowenstein. He is the owner of Sturgeon Spirits, a distillery in Oshkosh. They have a great event coming up February 14th. They'll be serving, for the first time ever, legally, booze out on the ice of Lake Winnebago while people will be spearing sturgeon and laughing and talking. It's going to be a fun event. What else? You've got, that's Valentine's Day, too. What, yep. What more, what better? Conrad, get a date and take her to Lake Winnebago. Okay. But don't tell her what's up. Just surprise her. And then, Carl's, you got your third anniversary celebration on the 21st, a week later, correct?
Perfect. Okay. Yep.
Very cool stuff. How do you know when you have a good flavor? Like, let's say this is excellent, but how much experimenting goes into this? And how do you know when you have something? Or did you just taste it and it's like, yeah, that's great?
I think of distilling as more of an art than a science. I can almost tell by the smell whether something's going to be good. Huh. And then actually, it's Tuesday night. If we were having this talk in the distillery, Tanya is testing out the new cocktails on the customers.
No,
so if you
way.
Happen to be in the distillery on Tuesday night, she's got a spread of,
how do we make that happen,
6, 7, 8 cocktails that she is putting together, and she's like, what do you think of this one? What do you think of this one? It's awesome.
So 300 flavors, though. That, how long did it take you to get the 300 flavors?
We add them all the time. I don't even want to tell you. We have actually over 700 in our cocktail book.
Okay.
So we've cut it down to only 300 that are customer facing.
Gosh. That's so great. What are your best sellers? Or I'll tell you this. Let's do this. If people come to Sturgeon Spirits, let's say they're listening to this and they're like, I got to check that out, and they go in. What would you have, if they've never tried any of your product, what would you steer them toward? What's your specialty?
So our number one seller for all 3 years is an espresso martini. And part of the reason that is our vodka is terrific, but we also make our own coffee liqueur that is 100 times better than Kahlua. So wow. You do vodka, our coffee liqueur, and a shot of espresso, best espresso martini you'll ever have. And it's been our best seller from day one.
That is very convincing. That sounds, I'll tell you what, when I come in there, I will try that too. And you can put the booze in it. I'll even have a sip. Conrad, you need to tag along though and say you've had enough, Pete. You can't be officially on the wagon if you finish that whole damn martini. That's great stuff. Check out Sturgeon Spirits, folks. Carl does a great job. And he is a student of history because he was a professor at University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. And you could tell that, you know, your love of history and sturgeon right there. That's a parallel. And then booze as well. It's great stuff. This is outstanding. So thank you for coming in tonight.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
Anytime.
Always good talking to you.
You too, buddy. And check out Sturgeon Spirits. And especially on the 14th out on Lake Winnebago, their lake bar. And on the 21st, helping them celebrate their third anniversary. That's impressive. 3 years. A lot of businesses don't make it 6 months, right?
That's the hardest 3 years, they say.
Oh, well, good for you. You're in the clear. You're loaded. I need a loan. Carl Lowenstein, thank you very much. We will be back to read your text and get caught up with that. And then John Roach comes by at 6:35 to talk about A Road at Night. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. It's great to have you here. We are talking about movies and booze. We got some movie talk coming up and a movie very close to Wisconsin's heart. That's coming up at 6:35 when my pal John Roach joins the show to talk about his documentary, A Road at Night, a really outstanding film that I cannot recommend enough. Our question of the night is, what is the best song to slow dance to? We do talk about music often on Nightlight, and tonight we're talking about dancing to that music. You know, Conrad, I had one sip of that cocktail with booze in it, and I'm feeling it.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You don't think that's possible? Like, my tolerance is zero. You don't think even a sip could have anything?
Maybe placebo?
Maybe. I'm going to have to call an Uber.
That's a long Uber.
It's $150 Uber. That's a $150 drink of that cocktail. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Carl Lowenstein, always fun to talk to Carl. That was great. Mike from Madison in the 608 says, Anything by Barry White. Awesome, Mike. That's a great text, and I could not agree more. Carolyn from Heartland in the 262 says, Knights in White Satin, Moody Blues. Again, a slow song. I don't picture that as a song you slow dance to. But you know what, Carolyn? If the partner is right, it really doesn't matter. So that's a great text. Mike from Madison says, White Punks on Dope.
Not too familiar with that one.
Is that a song? Sounds very romantic, Mike. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, Three Times a Lady, the Commodores. Yeah, you can't go wrong with the Commodores. Great song. 608 says, Unchained Melody. Another vote for Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers. Classic slow dance song. Jim from Brookfield says, Good evening, Pete. My favorite slow dance song is Sleepwalk by the brothers Santo and Johnny. My wife and I slowly danced to that song late one night on one of our first dates. We were married within a year. I hope you played it at your wedding then, Jim, because that is a great story and obviously a very influential song. Thank you for the text. Tony the Trucker in the 608 says, Pete, in seventh grade, we would slow dance to Hey Jude at Sock Hops in the middle school cafeteria and thought we were so cool. I have no reason to believe you were not, Tony the Trucker. That's fun. But, you know, Tony is showing his age. You ever hear that phrase, sock hop?
I have not.
It's a dance, and I don't know where. I think it's has something to do with Bobby socks, but a real 50s thing. Yeah, I would have loved to have experienced one of those. Jim from Appleton says, I'll read it again just in case. Best slow dance song of all time is Knights in White Satin, the Moody Blues. Another vote for Knights in White Satin. John from Columbia County in the 608 says, not just that, 12 Dreams of Dr. Sardinicious. Spirit rocked. Rest in peace, Randy. Last saw in Chicago in 93. John is very connected to that band. Well, it led to Wild Sex. Why wouldn't you be? And again, what is Wild Sex, people? It's different things to different people. Some people are just happy having any kind of sex. That could be wild. Bridget in the 818 says, Heaven by Bryan Adams. Our prom song. I just loved it when I was younger. Thank you, Bridget. That's a great text, and I remember that song as well. Mark from Prairie du Sac again says, I've never gone to spear sturgeon, but I used to spear lawyers in the Namaji River that goes into Lake Superior up north. Now, I have a lot of lawyers in my family, and they've helped a lot of people. So I don't have the animosity toward lawyers that Mark does. I guess it depends on the kind of lawyer. But I am having a very funny image in my head right now of lawyers, kind of just a whole mess of lawyers swimming upstream in their suits and their trench coats around each other while Mark is trying to kill one of them. Frankly, Mark, thank you for the text. John, again, in Columbia County says, screw slow dancing, more fast sexing. What if we got John on like the horniest night of the year for John? He's just on fire right now. Sal in Sun Prairie in the 608 says, Pete, I am not a drinker and the thimble of wine hits me when I get back in the pew and my kids can't believe it. So I understand that sip you had affected you. Thank you, Sal. And you know what? We needed to challenge Conrad on that because I do feel something. I mean, I don't feel drunk, but I feel it a little bit. Thank you for the support, Sal. Turning to the stream, Dave says, Wonderful Tonight. Great song. Eric Clapton, really good song. Love Wonderful Tonight. Not as much as the song Cocaine, but it's up there. Dave says also, Come Sail Away until the fast part. I can't even picture the slow part now that you say that. But Sydney Politics says, I want it on record that Ollie and I got beef.
What the hell does that mean?
That they, you know, they got a hate for each other or something.
No, Ollie already, she's, Ollie, nobody could ever hate Ollie.
No.
You know what, Sydney Politics? I'm going to change your name to Sydney Contentious because that's not right. We got a call?
Yeah, Richard from Waukesha.
Richard from Waukesha. How's it going, buddy?
It's going pretty good today. It's a nice day today.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I got some, I learned something today. See, I'm a, like a coffee cup collector.
Oh, yeah, sure. Coffee mugs.
With
love it.
Sayings on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I got some like from Live from New York kind of cups with sayings on them and this and that. And I found one today, and it's got a whole back story written, and it's a true story. It's about a woman from Minnesota that the state honored after a while and when she died. And her name, she got the name, the Root Beer Lady.
Well, that's interesting.
Did you ever hear of such
no.
a name? She was noted as being one of the best canoe paddlers and campers throughout her life.
Oh, and nice.
And she saved people in duress, like canoers that got stranded because of the
Richard,
bad weather and that.
Hey, Richard, we're up against the news. Do you want to hang and finish the story after the news?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Hang on the line. We'll finish this up. We'll have about a minute after the news before we get to our guests. So stick with us. We are coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mic on, Con?
Yeah.
All right. People heard me say welcome back.
Yes.
I don't want to be rude. All right. We have John Roach will be along momentarily, folks. We were in the middle of a phone call before we were rudely interrupted by the news, but Richard from Waukesha was telling us about a woman in Minnesota who saves people and how it relates to his coffee mug collection. Richard, please continue. We've got about a minute or so.
Okay. Well, it was a. It's still on the shelf. It was a toss-up between that cup and another cup. And I took the other cup, but this story is so interesting. And it had such a great story. It sounded like a nightingale, you know, yeah. like a kind of story. And it's a fact. And the state of Minnesota honored her.
Wow.
And she did this most of her life. They talk like she should have been like a Olympic canoe paddler. So talented,
yeah.
and she got the nickname the Root Beer Lady.
That's interesting.
It was so interesting. And then the other cup that I purchased. Now this is the name of a band.
Mm-hmm.
It's got on it, and I'm wondering. It's pretty long back. I was real little, and I'm trying to figure if it's the one I saw a couple times. The Showmen. Are the Legends.
Yeah.
There was the Showmen, the Legends, and the Fendermen.
Huh.
I'm trying to figure out which one is the one that, you know, was pretty famous. And when I was really little, I saw them at what they had years back was the Sentinel Sports Show.
Okay.
And this group performed. And whatever way, I like the caption of the cup.
Yeah.
On each side, it says, I used to work with the Legends.
Oh, that's awesome. And coffee mugs
are...
Yeah, they're a great thing to collect, too. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
My goal in life is always to have a cool enough nickname that it fits on a coffee mug and could be part of your collection.
Yeah. Well, there's so many different ones, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's
you know?
Awesome.
So I got a little collection, you know, some New York, live at New York, and, you know, this and that. And I got a couple soup bowls. You know, you want the soup, right?
Absolutely. Who doesn't like soup?
No soup for you.
The soup Nazi, yeah.
Live from New York. So there you go.
That's
awesome. I'm curious about this woman.
Yeah, maybe Con, Google,
yeah.
The root beer lady. All right. Yep. Thank you for the call, my friend. You have a great night, Richard. Always fun to talk to you, buddy.
Too.
Okay. Thank you very much. I do really, I've never had a cool nickname.
Her name, the root beer lady, her name was Dorothy Moulter.
Okay. And that's why she changed it to the root beer lady?
Yeah, it just has Moulter's a better ring to it, I think.
Better than Schwabba. All right, we are going to turn our attention to our next guest, folks. I am always excited when this gentleman is on the show because he is an extremely talented guy. He's got an incredible resume with so many different credits and different genres, and he's sort of a master of all trades, jack of none, if that makes any kind of sense. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight Mr. John Roach. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, Pete. It's jack of all trades, master of none, I think.
No. You reversed it, man. You turned that on its ear.
Yeah. How are you?
Well, John does not take well to compliments, as you can see, folks. I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good. We're excited about the premiere of A Road at Night. You know, you're a film guy. To get a theatrical run at Marcus Theaters with a small indie film locally produced is unusual.
Yeah.
But we've got a great coalition of people who've jumped in to help us. And so we open, there's a premier gala on Thursday night, the 12th, which is kind of an elevated ticket price, unabashedly a fundraiser for the Moore family. And then it opens for the general public on Friday, February 13th, and runs through the 19th. And if we have a strong opening weekend, it's a good shot. We'll extend the run.
That's awesome. All right, let's get into all that. But first, for people that aren't familiar with A, your film, and B, the Moore family or Howard Moore, tell us who Howard Moore was, John, and then we'll get into the film, please.
Well, Howard Moore still is. Howard was a schoolboy basketball player at Taft in Chicago, and it was during the golden era of Chicago schoolboy basketball. Mark Aguirre, Juwan Howard, three of the Fab Five, Michael Finley, Tracy Webster. At any rate, Howard was recruited heavily by Northwestern, but made his visit to Madison and opted to go there. So this is in the early 90s, late 80s, yeah. Early 90s at Wisconsin. And Howard became a Pied Piper after Mike Finley signed with the Badgers and came up here, and then Rashard Griffith. And they eventually became the first Badger team in 47 years to make the NCAA tournament. And as Tom Oates says, in former sports columnist for the State Journal in Madison, he says that is the team that took the lid off and led to really consistent success through the years. And then Howard came back, and after he graduated, he became a coach under Bo Ryan, assistant coach. So he coached, he recruited Frank Kaminsky, Coach John Luehr, some of the great names in Wisconsin basketball. But most importantly, Pete, he was a guy, as was his wife, Jennifer. He's beloved. He only scored 99 points in his career at Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Once again, as Tom Oates says, no one who scored 99 points had a greater effect on the program than
so great
than Howard. Sadly, while he was coaching, he left to be the head coach for University of Chicago, IC in Chicago, University of Illinois, IC, and then he came back to the Badgers as an assistant for Greg Gard when Bo Ryan left. And in May of 2019, he and his wife Jennifer, their daughter Jaden, their son Jarrell, got in the car. You know, coaches get Memorial Day weekend off. There's no recruiting. So they drive to Chicago to visit Howard's parents. And then they decide to leave late at night to avoid the traffic to visit, to go to Detroit, Jennifer's hometown, to visit her mother. And somewhere outside Ann Arbor, Michigan, at around 2:30 in the morning, they were hit head on by a drunk driver going the wrong way on the interstate. And it's public record, Jennifer and Jaden were killed. Jarrell, who was only 12 at the time, was able to get his dad out of the car. Howard had third-degree burns over a third of his body, the upper part of his body. And the story is really about how this band of brothers, these guys who played ball together, banded together again to help Howard and his son. It's about love and loss and hope and the undying bonds of teammates.
That's a great description. And I've seen the film, folks. It is outstanding. And my only regret, John, is that I haven't been able to see it with an audience. I missed the screening you guys did at the Barrymore at the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Yeah, come on down.
Because I had another screening that night, and I'm going to be at the – I've already committed to the Door County Film Festival next week, but
right.
I am determined to see this film with an audience because I've heard that, like, collectively and the community exists on the screen and off the screen when people see the film. It's really just an incredible work. So congrats on finishing it. Congrats on the premiere. And tell us now, okay, so you've got this premiere Friday, February 13th at Marcus Point Cinema in Madison.
Well, we have a private kind of gala fundraiser for the Moore family on Thursday night where tickets are $225. Greg Gard, some of the basketball team members will be there. And, you know, other stars in the athletic firmament. And then Friday night's open to the public. We have panels every night for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday night is really a gathering of the basketball community who knows Howard. And then Friday night, it's a filmmakers panel. Myself, Joe Fung, my DP and editor who played such an important role. Doug Moe is going to be doing the Q&A. And Jarrell Moore is going to join us, Howard's son, who's now a sophomore in college at Edgewood University. And then Saturday is another kind of basketball interview with more basketball luminaries coming. Some haven't been announced yet, but there's some pretty big names. And then Sunday, very interestingly, you saw the film, and we didn't plan on doing this, but we dealt with the issue of faith. Howard and his family are people of great faith, faith I admire. I don't necessarily have that level of faith. Perhaps I wish I did. I had 12 years of Catholic education, so I'm not uneducated.
16 but, here, John.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
There you go. So, but I was just moved by the faith that the Moores have and some of Howard's teammates. And two of Howard's pastors were interview subjects on the doc, and they were powerful. And so when something like this happens, it's not unusual for people to say why. As many people said, this is the last family that anything bad should have happened. They're active in the charitable community. Howard had a foundation. No one deserves it, but they deserved it even less. And you have to ask yourself why. And so we delved into that issue with his two pastors, as well as his teammates, coaches, because everyone asks that question of themselves. Why do bad things happen to good people? And so we took on that question. And so the panel on Sunday is with one of Howard's pastors and myself, just because it's such an interesting editorial topic, because we didn't set out to include that in the doc. That, you know, doing a doc is you're peeling the onion, right? It's an exercise in discovery. And it was very difficult to tell this story without dealing with the Moore's faith.
John Roach is my guest. He is the director and filmmaker behind A Road at Night, which you can see the weekend of February 12th, 13th, 14th. The first night is a fundraiser for the Moore family, which the film is tells their story. It's a great film. I've seen it. On the stream, we've got a text, John. Kurt Kraus, who is one of the organizers of the Door County Film Festival, says, sounds like a very powerful film, John Roach. I hope to catch one of the Marcus screenings. So it would be great if you guys...
We'd love to see
it. Yeah, it would be great if you guys did get some kind of run, because I think more people should see this. You know, John, as much as I got to know Howard and his family through your film, it's also makes you so proud to be part of the UW community. You know, I've never lived in Madison. I didn't go to University of Wisconsin, but I love when you know, the coaches are telling the stories and the players and even the ones that had come and gone, like Stan Van Gundy, you have a great,
right.
You know, he said, yeah. He said, Jarrell came up to him and said, coach, and he called Stan Van Gundy coach and talking about his dad. There's so many beautiful moments in this film like that. John, we have to do a really short break and we are coming right back. We'll have a few more minutes with our pal, John Roach, the director of A Road at Night. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Our question of the night is, what is the best slow dance song? What is the best song to slow dance to? Let's ask our guest before we get back into the meat of this interview. John Roach, who is here. He is the filmmaker behind A Road at Night. John, Anna from Madison says, I always enjoy hearing John Roach on your show. I still miss his back page column in Madison Magazine. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I did that for 30 years, Pete.
Oh, no way.
A monthly column. I used to have an occasional beer with Doug Moe, who was the editor of Madison Magazine. There were about, you know, six or seven guys who would always gather there and kind of our Algonquin round table.
That's great.
Midwest style. And Doug, I was, you know, holding forth on something not unusual. And Doug said, why don't you shut up and write about it for me? And I saw, okay. So I did a column and I just kept doing them. So turned into a 30-year run, which was, you know, as a writer, Pete, as you are, it's really a good exercise to write for public consumption every month.
I would imagine. You know,
effectively
so,
yeah. An essay, right?
Yeah. That's
and
great.
And it helps you find a voice.
Yeah, for sure. And Anna is a big fan and, you know, just a food
Thank
for thought.
You, Anna.
Maybe you take it up again, John. I don't know. Do you have a favorite slow dance song, John? One maybe you danced with
Well,
your
first
wife
of all,
too,
Cast Adrift on Memory is tremendous. Actually, for the film, that is of the era of Howard Moore and his teammates at the university.
Oh.
My son's a singer-songwriter in Los Angeles, and he and two of his compatriots compose the score for the film.
Oh, nice.
Which is really gratifying. My son, JT
Roach. I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, and it's so satisfying at this stage of my career to work with my son, and my brother worked on it. So it was really satisfying, but they did a wonderful job. But one of the things I asked him is, I said, can you do a little, like, you know, Cast Adrift on Memory-ish cut here? Because it just so much of that era.
Yeah,
but in terms of slow dances, I think your most formative slow dances are when you're just learning about girls, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm dating myself now. But two of that I like were Because by the Dave Clark Five and Ferry Cross the Mersey by Jerry and the Pacemakers, which they were both British invasion bands in company with the Beatles.
Those are great. And I just want to say, I'm still learning about girls. And sadly, there are nights I date myself. So I can relate to everything you just said there.
Yes. I think Jackson Brown wrote a song about that.
Mine was How Deep Is Your Love and Always on My Mind. So there's so many great ones to list. But
well, also, you can't miss with the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh.
They're wonderful.
We've heard, you know, several people have chosen that song. John, we just have a few more minutes. I love this movie. I hope everybody goes to see it. What are you documentary filmmakers don't do this for the money. What was your goal when you set out to make this film?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, this was a passion, you know, project. But there is a very specific goal, and that's to raise money for the Moore family. All the box office receipts go to the Moores.
Love it.
The film was financed by George Hamill, who's a great Wisconsin grad. Tim Valentine's an exec producer. A whole bunch of people with Wisconsin connections came together. Sean Hanisch, Kelly Call from Wisconsin grads who have Cannonball, and they, you know, made some distribution headway with their films. So they just jumped in and said, we want to be on Team Moore and get you into a Marcus run as well. And so we're so grateful to them. But, you know, Pete, I think you know from my past, I mean, I did, you know, a David Lynch film, but I've also dabbled in sports stuff.
Yeah.
Did the sports writers on TV back in Chicago, back in the 90s and aughts. And I've always felt that sports is at its best when it transcends sports, when it's kind of a jumping off point to look at a bigger picture, right?
Agreed.
And this is not a basketball documentary at all. It's the stage upon which the story is played out, however.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sports are inherently dramatic. That's why they're popular, right?
Yeah.
And there's art, there's grace and beauty, there's tension, there's drama, there's violence at times, you know,
sure.
There's action. And so there are things in sports that appeal to me from a storytelling standpoint. And so as soon as Tim and George approached me on this, my first thought was, it's not a 6-minute video. This is a documentary. It also came when the genre was really blowing up during COVID, because we've worked on this project for 4 years.
Yeah.
So it really, you know, began just as we were coming out of COVID. And I just felt comfortable telling the story, honestly. I grew up within 5 blocks of Camp Randall and the old field house.
Yeah.
My dad played baseball at Wisconsin. I went to Wisconsin. My wife went to Wisconsin. My kids went to Wisconsin. And so, and I know Bo Ryan and Greg Gard socially. So I understood the culture. And also, I was in Chicago for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I knew the environment that Howard and Michael Finley, Tracy Webster, Richard, I knew that Chicago that they came out of. So it was just very intriguing to me.
John, this has been so much fun. I'm one of these days over a beer, we'll have to talk. I followed Chicago hoops too, the King, Marcus Liberty days, and Simeon and all that.
Oh my God, absolutely. We'll have a great Marcus Liberty was almost in the dock.
Oh, nice. yeah. But I want to say, when I met John, you talked about your days in Chicago, and I thought, oh yeah, he's totally a Chicago guy. Then later in our friendship, like 2 months, I found out you were born and raised in Madison. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. He's such a Madison guy. You're just a guy and you're an awesome guy. City is regardless. Thank you for being on the show and best of luck with
Pete,
the screening.
Always great talking to you. And yeah, we have to have that beer.
We'll do it. I'll be there in
shout
March.
When you're in Madtown.
You got it.
Okay.
We'll definitely do it.
Thanks for your support.
Always.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. John Bye-bye. Roach, folks. We'll keep you posted too, ladies and gentlemen, on streaming information as that becomes available for A Road at Night. But if you're in the Madison area, definitely check it out. John Roach. We are coming right back for Act 3. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.